pregnancy, hot topic right now, sex. Why is that? When we get into the discussion about COVID-19 and talking about the impact on women, when we talk about diversity and inclusion, this is one of the top areas where women have had a severe impact. So how that happens and in this pandemic, we're going to talk about more. So we've already talked about all of the rest of these categories. And again, I want to point out that if you go to the EEOC's website, another thing to be scrolling through the website are in the newsroom on the press releases. Sometimes that is one of the best places that you can go to get some of your training material to train your managers on discriminatory practices in the workplace. And the reason why that place is important is because it tells you the settlements that companies pay in conciliation and consent decrees. So some of these activities that we're talking about can be expensive. Some of these conciliation agreements can get into the millions. There was a recent one at $3.4 million for an employer that was discriminating against somebody, not only on the basis of their age, but on the basis of their disability under the Americans with Disabilities Act. So that's just some good places to go. Now let's talk about EEO data collections. This is information that you need to know. If you are an employer and you have more than 100 employees, you are required by law to file EEO-1 data about your workforce. Now, this is something that has been changed and changed. And what I want to point out here is normally those reports are due by a certain time every year. Well, because of the impact of the pandemic, the EEOC has had to move back the dates for those collections. So this is the third time they've done it. So now the last version of this, the date has been changed. The deadline is now Monday, October 25th. So this is the final deadline. The commission is not going to extend another one. And employers need to go to the EEOC website. This is hyperlinked in your handout for how you can go and file that EEO-1 data. For those of you that are school districts, public universities, there's also the EEO-2, EEO-3, EEO-4, and EEO-5 categories. You can also go to that website and find out what the reporting periods are for that information. But again, I want to point that out. This has been a very, very hot topic. We are getting a high volume of calls about employers, about what to do about the EEO-1 reports. If you have questions and you're encountering difficulties trying to file those reports online, which you're now required to do, you can't mail them in or email them or anything like that. There are links on that section of the website where you can get information. So again, this deadline just got extended a week ago. So I want to make sure that everyone has that information. Let's talk now about EEOC discrimination charges. And again, you know, you have situations, and this is where you have an intersection of state law as well as Title VII. Remember, when people file discrimination charges with the commission in Texas and with many other state and local agencies, those charges are filed concurrently. So what that means is this: you file a charge with the EEOC, there at the top of that form is a box and you check off state, and there's a line there and you put the state in there. Now, why is that important for you to know? Well, at the end of the process, when a notice of right to sue is issued, that individual has an option to pursue litigation in federal or state court. So that is where the state employment discrimination laws come into being, because just because someone has filed an EEOC charge does not necessarily mean that they will choose to file in federal court. The other thing that a lot of people don't realize, and again, what are we seeing at the commission? The people who can file a charge is not only an employee, but unions or labor organizations can also file on behalf of their employees. So that is just something that to keep in mind. Here's a little bit of ethics 0.10. At the bottom of that slide, I talk about jurisdictional requirements and strict time limits for filing charges. Ladies and gentlemen, if there's one thing that I've seen consistently over the years that I've practiced, is attorneys that are getting into this area of law that are not competent to practice in it. This is one area that if this is not your practice area, associate yourself with someone who does. There are severe consequences if you miss the timelines for filing a charge of discrimination. And when that happens, you're into a grievance situation, and that can be considered malpractice. So let's talk about that. What is the time period? 300 calendar days in Texas. For many of you from other states, it's also 300 calendar days. Now, why is that? Under Title VII, it's 180 days. But because of the relationship of the concurrent filing that the EEOC has with many states, that time limit is extended to 300 days. So making sure that people make that deadline is important. And if you're on the plaintiff side, make sure that you are counting those days accurately and you file timely.